And welcome back into Morning Drive. Hour 3 is off and running. We are live this morning from Bridgestone Arena. Predators and the Maple Leafs tonight here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nikhail Bredengal, Derek Mason, the Constable, Chase McCabe, Buck Rising back in the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Stick the Sports will come your way at 8:45. But I was thinking about this yesterday, just kind of looking over the brackets and, you know, different things like, you know, which Cinderella will make a run this year, which double-digit seed has got the best chance to maybe crash a Sweet 16, and just other storylines. And I was thinking about this. Is it possible that Zion Williamson and just him coming back from the injury, the likability factor, can you be the best player in the tournament on arguably the best team when all things are right and also be maybe the best story?
I think you can. You know, he has done it in such a way that I don't think you've seen it done. I mean, Carmelo, when he went to Syracuse, that was a good story, you know, because he chose to, you know, go to college instead of.
Well, he had to.
That was the first year of the whole
and
you had to go.
Two other true freshmen, Jerry McNamara and Hakeem Warrick, both on that team. Three true freshmen.
So, I mean, you can.
And Dwayne, I think.
Yeah.
Don't forget about Dwayne.
So you can't have a great story and be the best player on arguably the best team. Because here's the story with Zion. This is a guy that was a five-star guy, best player in the country, chose to go play with the second or third best player in the country and then the fourth or fifth best player in the country. They all chose to go to Duke and play. And the story is he doesn't have an ego, you know. The guy just wants to play basketball. And then when he got hurt, he wanted to come back. I think that's the biggest story.
They weren't going to travel with him.
Yeah.
And he wanted to travel with the team to go watch his team
play. He wanted to be on the bench. He's a legit team guy. And very seldom do you see in this world of athletics with this group of individuals, meaning the millennials, are they millennials? I guess they are. Yeah,
maybe they are.
What's
the next generation called?
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to figure out. That he is more so about team than he is of himself. That's the big story. Like, he is so humble that, you know, you just – and I don't think it's an act. I think that's who he is.
My best friend's a Carolina fan, and he hates Duke.
Uh-huh.
But he has nothing but good things to say about Zion Williamson. It's the most bizarre thing.
So again, this is what we talked about yesterday. Uh-huh. I think Zion is the anti-Leitner. He is the opposite of Christian. He somehow figured out a way to do the impossible, which is make Duke likable, which is virtually impossible to do. Now, here's the question, though, because your question is interesting because the best story, right? If a team like Loyola Chicago makes another run to the Final Four, that will still be a bigger, quote-unquote, better story than Duke making it to the Final Four.
Yeah, because people assume Duke
So let's say first weekend – if Belmont – let's use Belmont because it's local and we're all rooting for them. Mm-hmm. If Belmont wins two games and gets to the Sweet 16, or I guess that would be three games. If they go to the Sweet 16, it will be a quote-unquote bigger story than Duke making it to the Sweet 16, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Unless Zion goes like 26 of 29 and scores 86 points in two games or whatever and has 46 block shots. Like, unless he
– damn, that's a lot of block shots.
He's averaging 23 blocks a game. But other than those – other than something statistically just spectacular, I don't think he can do anything in the first weekend that makes Duke the big story because I think Duke, we all anticipate, like no one's picking Duke to lose in the first weekend. You get to the second weekend and he has a huge game against, I don't know, let's say Virginia Tech, and then they play Michigan State and he has another huge game and then all of a sudden they're in the Final Four. I think the story builds and it becomes a bigger story. But he's already probably one of the two best players in the tournament. And they are the best team in the tournament.
The Legend of Zion.
There you go. So
it's got a nice ring to it.
I think that to your question about can he be the best player on the best team and the best story, I think they have to cut the nets down for it to be truly the best story. Because if they were to lose in the championship game or in the Final Four to, like, if Mark Few and Gonzaga, let's just say hypothetically, if Gonzaga wins the national championship and Mark Few breaks through, that's a bigger story. That's a better story. So if somebody breaks through, right, if Virginia breaks through and wins a national championship or, you know, if North Carolina wins it, everyone's like, oh, I've seen that before. Like, you know, if Kentucky wins it, oh, we've seen that before. If Michigan State wins it, oh, we've seen that before. To me, there are a handful of things that could be the better story, but – in the first weekend, I don't think Duke can be the best story.
See,
I think it takes.
I don't think that Gonzaga. I don't think that Gonzaga would be like this great story because now they've been. They're so established, and people expect them to be at least making a deep run. Like I feel like the charm of Gonzaga has worn off.
They're not Cinderella anymore.
They're not Cinderella anymore.
Not even close.
Right.
No, I agree. Maybe I'm too deep into it then because I, you know, Mark Few is.
Although I love Mark Few.
If you were to rank greatest coaches in college basketball without a national championship, you put John Beilein and Mark Few,
sure.
and Tony Bennett, like all these really fantastic coaches into this group. And so maybe I just view it as guys that, you know, because we had this discussion last week about Cal, and I think the common person falls into a trap of evaluating one national championship as being like the defining end-all be-all on a coach. And I don't think that's. Like, Bo Ryan at Wisconsin was one of the greatest coaches of all time. He didn't have a championship because he lost to Coach K in the championship game. Doesn't mean he's any less of a great coach. Sort of like Dan Marino, right? Like, we know how good of a quarterback he is. So I sort of view those breakthrough candidates as better stories. Like, when Jay Wright finally broke through and won at Villanova, that was a great story because, A, the game was one of the greatest games ever played, but he sort of broke through. So I think if Mark Few at Gonzaga breaks through – Virginia breaks through. John Beilein at Michigan, they break through, even though we've seen Michigan there. If Rick Barnes were to break through and win a national championship for Tennessee, a team that's never been to the
goodness.
Final Four, that would be a far bigger story than anything than if Duke won the national title, right?
Funny you say that with Barnes winning a national title. What type of impact would that have on Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee? Is there any correlation to, well, hey, the basketball program's a national champion – we better get our you-know-what together and achieve where we need to get back to?
I don't know.
I don't think so because Barnes had a head start. Rick Barnes had a head start. And he inherited, you know, two guys on that team that have turned out – one has turned out to be –
Well, he recruited Grant. He got
Grant. Yeah, you're right. One of the guys turned out to be arguably, you know, one of the top five, seven players in the country.
And he wasn't a top 100 recruit.
Yeah.
So.
And so – he has this head start because he was allowed to build his team. They built, you know, these guys have been together for some years. Jeremy Pruitt, you know, he inherited a team that, you know, this team, based upon stars, yes, but based upon production, they were not good.
Yeah.
And it's going to take him some time. And it's a little bit, I think it's a little bit, what would you say?
Well,
is it a little bit harder for Pruitt to recruit? Or Barnes to recruit?
Barnes.
Okay.
But that's because the dollars you put into recruiting in football at Tennessee is just greater than almost anything else.
That's why I brought up the question because, like,
commitment.
You've mentioned it. Tennessee is one of the 15 programs as far as that has everything you could possibly need to succeed. So if your basketball team –
football you're talking about.
Football, yeah.
Yeah.
So if your basketball team overachieves – like if I was personally speaking
– but they've got everything in basketball too. Like
true.
I mean they've got one of the biggest stadiums in America.
They except for great, the history though, right?
Well, that's true. There's better history than probably people think, but not a top-level history, right? Like they go to the tournament a lot. You know, they went to the tournament in the late 90s. They went to the tournament – they had the Ernie and Bernie era, of course, way back in the day is a pretty high level of success. They just never gotten to the Final Four ever, so there's – there's that they sort of have a ceiling right now as a program. But you can win. Point is same sort of thing. Like they're like A&M football. Tennessee basketball is like A&M football. They've got all the facilities, all the money, all the fan support, all the access to success. It just has never actually happened and culminated. The same thing with A&M football. Football's got all the unlimited resources, talent, you know, whatever. Just has never – fans are great. Just has never culminated in success. I look at your question more psychologically. Knoxville's going to be – if they were to do that, Knoxville will be in this fantastic euphoric mood, right?
Yeah.
So you're happy. Does that mean you have higher expectations for your football program, or does that mean you're okay with them sucking a little bit longer?
No, I would have higher expectations.
I don't know, but you're so happy, though, because you've won this champion. Like, I talk to Tennessee fans right now today.
Yeah. But then come late September when football's going on, I need to see I need to see progress.
I think fans right now are so beaten down across all sports. Mm-hmm. I mean, Holly Warlick's probably going to get fired. Baseball's finally showing signs of life. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think fans, when I talk to fans, the one line I get from almost all Tennessee people is, just thank God we're good at something. Like, that is really the way they feel right now. And it's, I wonder if the high of winning, getting to the Final Four or winning a title or whatever would just last for a lot longer time than anyone thinks.
Oh, do you
because
think
they haven't
they,
won anything in so long. I think it would carry them through the fall, through next year. I think they'd be so – they'd be on cloud nine forever.
I think they would always go back, even if the football season turned out to be an average season. I think they – ball fans will always stand, go back to, but we won a national championship.
You think – so let's say if they won a national championship and they lost to Louisiana Tech in week three in football, you think that euphoria would override that type of upset?
I don't think it would because they are in the moment.
It lessens the wound.
They are in the moment. So in the moment, ball fans would be highly upset. But – I think eventually, if the season turned out to where they won seven, maybe eight games, I think, you know.
Well, eight games would be huge.
Yeah, eight games would be huge. But if they won, let's say if they won seven games, went to a bowl game, I think a lot of fans would still be.
I think the conversation would be, we made
a bowl game and we won a national championship in basketball. Yeah. Oh man,
I think we are
the best university in the world.
To your question about like losing to Louisiana Tech. It's all if they go 5-7 again and there's no progress. I think this year nobody cares because they won a national championship. Now they care, but like people let it go. It's the following year, year three. If he has yet to show progress,
I don't know about that.
I think they would be upset
at a major football program.
You guys are missing what I'm saying. They are of course upset. What I'm saying is they're still riding the high from the national championship.
I know what you're saying. I disagree.
And by the end of the second year, they'd say there's no progress. Jeremy Pruitt's got to show progress next year. But they would still be fine because of the national title. They would fire him the next year if he doesn't get
to a third bowl. I think football fans are just, you know, yes, they will ride that high of winning the national championship. But if he only wins five games, people are going to want him fired. That's just the way it is.
And he's not going to get
second year, and he won't get fired. I know that. So. But people are going to want a change at the head coaching position, regardless of what they've done. What they did on the hardwood.
It makes his third – everybody knows the third year is the most critical year anyway, in third and fourth year.
I've always said get a guy – give a guy at least one recruiting cycle to get his team to where it needs to be.
Basically, I don't think there is a correlation between your appreciation and love of one program and your critical analysis of another program. I don't think there's a connection between the two. I just think that if there's a 5-7 team again, Tennessee fans are so beaten down right now that they would throw their hands in the air and say, "Yeah, but we got that natty."
I'm predicting,
and that's how they're going to act. And then year three comes around. If it's a bad year again in year three, he's out. If it's a good year in year three, everything's good.
I'm predicting he wins eight games this season.
Yeah.
Yes. You want action on that?
I'm predicting he wins eight games.
Nick said that last year, and I tried to bet him.
I'm not even feeling eight games this year.
You want action?
Another year with this team. And him relinquishing his duties as far as defensive coordinator and allowing somebody else to call those plays, I think this is the year they win eight games, man.
I'll take $100 to your charity of choice, $100 to our kids,
okay,
my charity,
good.
If they win
sounds
less
good.
Than eight. Regular season.
Yeah, regular season.
Don't get an eight game in a bowl game.
But doesn't that count as –
No, you got to go 8-4.
Nah, man, you got to give me a little leeway.
No, you got to go 8-4. You said eight games,
You got to give me
four.
A little leeway.
Yeah, I'm with Braden on
you
this.
You got to go 8. You're
okay,
saying 8, eight
and 4. Season. 8-4.
You don't get a Cactus Bowl to get to 8 wins.
Yeah,
that
you
crap.
Do.
You
hey,
don't
a win crap. Is a win is a win. You know they count it.
They don't count.
Yeah, they do.
No, I've already
in recruiting, they count it.
I've already got text messages, by the way, saying no riding the high at all. I think they are not related. How the job.
Wait, what was the text?
There's no riding high.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Again, but there is no change in what Pruitt like. It doesn't matter.
No, but here's the thing:
if you're a
fan of Tennessee University athletics and you love football and you like basketball, maybe even you love it. I don't think winning a nat like when we get to September and we get to football.
No, they're unrelated.
There's no thoughts of basketball, so I don't think Rick Barnes winning a national title will give me like this malaise where like I'm not going to pull out my pitchforks in Knoxville because Jeremy Pruitt's underachieving. Like I think if they underachieve, it doesn't matter what the basketball team.
Yeah, you're right.
No, I think they're unrelated. I think they're completely unrelated. I just don't think that. I don't think it changes anything that happens. Is all I'm saying.
Well, like, I got him winning eight games. There you go.
Because since they're not going to change anything, like he's not getting fired if they go 5-7, right? Now if they go 0-12, they might fire him.
Gone.
But like that's not going to happen. If they go 5-7 again, they're not going to fire him. So nothing's going to change. It doesn't matter how much anger you throw out there, how much you yell. What I'm saying is, once you get to that point, all right, I'm angry. This isn't good enough. You better do better next year. Then you go, oh man, but we got that national championship, and you feel better again. And it's just, it doesn't change the fact that you're angry at the football program. it's a complicated psychological state that the Tennessee Vols fans are in right now. So let's just leave it at that.
Your calls, 615-737-1025. The best caller on today's show will win a pair of tickets to tonight's Nashville Predators-Toronto Maple Leafs game. So if you want to get in, you want to win those tickets for tonight's matchup, 615-737-1025. Best caller will get the pair here on Morning Drive, live from Bridgestone Arena on ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Game plan traffic. A stalled vehicle is causing a hazard on eastbound Interstate 24 just west of Murfreesboro Pike. We have a wreck on eastbound 24 just east of Old Hickory Boulevard. Also, the left lane is blocked due to a wreck on northbound 65 north of Old Hickory Boulevard and a two-car crash off to the left-hand side of the roadway on northbound 65 at Interstate 40.
This report is sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance, where you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual customizes your coverage so you can only pay for what you need. Go to libertymutual.com for a customized quote, and you could save.
You guys want more choices and flexibility when it comes to your entertainment? Of course you do. Well, we've got news for you. Xfinity lets you choose a package that's crazy fast with internet speeds and types of channels that you want. That's right. Xfinity now lets you choose a package that's right for you. So you can choose a little or choose a lot. You love sports and kids programming, like I have to have at my house. Sports for me, kids programming, that's right, for the kids. You can even get access to streaming apps like Netflix and Amazon Prime Video. Whatever you want, Xfinity has you covered. Get more of what you want and less of what you don't with Xfinity. Now, that's simple, easy, and awesome. For a limited time, get started with Xfinity Internet and TV starting at $39.99 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement, and get your choice of Stars or Showtime included for a year. Plus, customize your experience by adding flexible channel packages. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay. Offer ends 3/21/19. Restrictions apply. New Internet Plus Instant TV customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV fee extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply.
All right, welcome back into Morning Drive, 820 here on a Tuesday. We are live from Barrel House, Bridgestone Arena. Nick Hale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason, Chase McCabe. Kind of getting back into the discussion we were having about what impact a Vols national championship in men's basketball would have on the football program. I want to throw out two other comparisons here. One, do you think let's take the Middle Tennessee, the Nashville sports fan. If the Predators would win the Stanley Cup this year, do you think that would change? Now, all things being equal, so let's say Joe in Murfreesboro loves the Preds and the Titans equally as much. He's invested in both of them. If the Preds win this year, but Mike Vrabel goes 6-10, does the nostalgia of winning the Stanley Cup and the euphoria diminish the vitriol for an underachieving football team?
So this is fantastically interesting, because we all have our favorite teams in our favorite sports. Mm-hmm. And the most important point you made is if you care about them equally.
Right.
Let's say you're a diehard Vanderbilt basketball fan and a Preds fan. I know a ton of them. In fact, all my in-laws are Vanderbilt basketball fans and Preds fans. A Preds championship makes them forget about everything that happened with Bryce Drew this year. And now, it doesn't mean that they don't, once they refocus on basketball, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean they're going, dude, you need to get better. You need to win more games. You've got it. You know, all the same critiques crop up. But if you're telling, like, I'm a diehard Mets fan and a Packers fan. If one of them wins a championship, I don't think, like, that's the karmic balance of the sports universe. You shouldn't be asking for a second one, right? Like, you, once you get one, you kind of have to, that you've been given your gift, right? Alabama fans aside, you know, Duke basketball fans aside, like, there are certain franchises and programs that just kind of get, that they're above everybody else, right? And so they're just luckier, and they are what they are. But if you're a diehard Titans fan and Preds fan, and you get one championship in either sport, that's pretty good. You're getting a lot out of it. Now, I didn't clarify myself. I wasn't very clear on the Tennessee thing. What happens with football and with basketball are completely unrelated. You expect success in both, and you evaluate them separately. But if Pruitt goes 5-7, and they are bad again, what do you do? No, you're gonna put a protest together and march on Philip Fulmer's office. Like, you're not going to do anything.
Ball fans might just do that.
Oh, yeah, you might be right. But all you do is wait for the next year. Like, you don't do anything. And during the time of waiting, you know what makes you feel better? Remembering all the fun you had in March when your team won a national championship. So that's all I'm saying.
I think what would make it more unbearable is if they – and to me, the whole Vandy-UT thing where, you know, UT fans just feel we walk into the building, we beat Vandy. But it had been that way. If Vandy wins again – and he goes 5-7, I think that's when the pitchforks will come out.
They will, but he's not going to get fired.
Well, he won't
so
get fired.
My point is what can you really do other than scream into the ether on Twitter and the message boards about how awful your life
is? Think about Rick Barnes?
Or what you can do once you get to the point of, all right, Pruitt's got to win in his third year. Mm-hmm. He's had two disappointing seasons, and he's going to have to win in his third year. All you can do is wait for the next year to start. So why sit around for 8 months and just be like, God, my life is terrible. When you could be like, man, do you remember that time we were all together and Grant Williams
back
at that big three?
Band camp?
Good Lord. That took a turn.
Bandies.
Grant Williams hit that. I mean, the thing that would make me feel better is remembering all the positives that I experienced in March just less than a year earlier. So, I'll be selfish. As like a Mets fan and a Predators fan, let's say, if the Mets win the World Series, that covers me and my sports love. Like, I don't need another championship for that year or for a couple of years because I experienced the euphoria of a championship.
Okay, so here
– It doesn't mean I don't want it.
No.
I do, but I don't
– Here's the thing.
You're greedy at that point.
I don't know if you were – you probably were not there when the late, great Pat Summitt was winning championships.
I was there for two of them.
Okay. So – if UT didn't have a good season, did people then say, well,
I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, people look at women's basketball a little bit different than they do men's basketball, but on that campus, women's basketball reigned supreme because of who Pat Summitt was and what she did with that program. Not just that program, but women's basketball in general.
Right.
Did people then say, if UT didn't have the season that they expected, did people then say, well, at least we won a national championship with Pat Summitt?
That's a fascinating question because literally the entire 4 years I was at UT, they won four consecutive SEC championships in women's hoops. That's a great question. I think whether people admit it or not, they are separate and yet together, but in a weird way. Like, you evaluate football and women's basketball totally separately.
Yeah.
Because in 2001, when I was there, in 2001, they lost to Nick Saban and LSU in the SEC championship game. That team would have played Miami in the national title game had they won that game. They didn't because Rohan Davey came in and beat them. And, you know, I think – now, do I think Miami would have crushed them in the championship game? Probably so, but that's irrelevant. They choked in an SEC title game when they should have won it. And that will be for – like, Tennessee fans to this day will always be like, damn, what could have happened in 2001? And they had a phenomenal team, a better team than Nebraska that played in the national title game. They just got beat by Nick Saban and LSU. You're welcome, SEC. If Pat Summitt had lost the championship game, which she did multiple times in that era as well – I don't think it replaced the Tennessee football loss at all. But I do think at some point in your calendar year as a sports fan of UT, when you spent your days going through campus in the middle of March and your women's team was winning a national title and an SEC championship, it made you feel better. Like
I can see that.
It doesn't erase the football side of it, but the other thing is football was really good then, right? Like, so even though they weren't winning national title, they were a really good football program, so they were winning 10 games every year. That's a big difference than the last 10 years of Tennessee football where they've had two decent seasons, you know, with 9-4 records in Iowa and wins over Iowa and Northwestern in bowl games. Like, the football program has been so irrelevant for so long that it's – The fans are in this weird place right now, psychologically.
737-1025, the number. Let's go to Martin, who's up next on Morning Drive. What's up, Martin?
Doing pretty good. Just driving my daughter to spring break camp here. But
I have a question because it seems like baseball players can kind of get away with anything. There's a really tight leash on football players. Hockey's a totally different animal. I kind of don't know what to make of it. I was hoping you guys could help me out with finding a delineation or a demarcation between the discrepancies and the disparities with which these different professional sports teams treat players with off-field issues.
Well, every league, Martin, and again, this is basically what Emily Kaplan wrote in her article last week, and mostly it was predicated on marijuana and the legalization of marijuana recreationally in Canada, the largest country in the world, to have that. Well, there's a bunch of hockey teams up there, right? So there's she does a great job. I'll let her describe it, so go read the article. She does a great job describing the difference in all of the penalties for failing drug tests in all the different leagues. Each league has its own decisions to make, right? Like, every league can decide what it wants to do. It's collectively bargained.
Yeah.
But they're all individual, right? Like, the NBA has its own thing. Major League Baseball's got its own thing. And what I think is not only progressive, but the right thing to do is the NHL says, all right, you failed a drug test, or you did this, or you did that. It's up to you to decide to get help or not. We will provide that help for you. We're not just going to arbitrarily just start suspending you for random things. We're, you know, each league has its own right to decide its own structure.
I think some of it has to do with guaranteed contracts, because the NHL and Major League Baseball have guaranteed contracts. These owners feel that, okay, we got to pay these guys, so we need to help them as a league. We need to help them. Whereas the NFL don't have guaranteed contracts. Now, they have guaranteed bonuses or, you know, signing bonuses, but their contracts are not 100% guaranteed. And, you know, teams are looking to, you know, if you mess up and you're not living up to, you know, what the contract says, I want to get rid of you, and this is a way I can do it.
Right.
You know, so the league is more willing to suspend you because they know they're not on a hook for you for the next 8 years.
Well, and let's be honest, there's lots of different levels of activity, right? There's a difference between a guy, you know, who gets popped for smoking a joint versus domestic abuse, right? They're very different levels of problem, and there's a million different things people do. And so I just think we need to live in a world where we know that the psychology of these things are really important, and how to get people help is the primary concern, and that it's not as simple as, oh, you're suspended, problem's going to get solved. Mm-hmm. There is no 28-day program where you just go in and you're fixed psychologically. Like, the drinking has an origination point, right? Mm-hmm. The reason you have alcoholism is because of a bunch of other things. You got to solve those problems. You can't just, oh, you're dry for a month and now you're good. Like, that's not how the human brain works.
Speaking of help, is more help on the way for the Tennessee Titans? We'll explain next here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Well, listen, I can help you with something, man. And I know you need it, some of you men out there. And I've been telling you this for the last several months. I've been telling you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his beautiful wife, Daphne, along with their experienced staff, give men the treatments required to improve their quality of life. Men, we need a better quality of life. I understand it, I know it, and you know it too. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of the Brentwood, Nashville, and surrounding area in Tennessee with improving their immune system, energy levels, and cognitive functions, and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy, listen to me, healthy man, enriched life. And when you are healthy and your life is enriched, then the kids are happy. People at work are happy because you're not walking around moping. And guess who else is happy? Mama. And when I say mama, I mean the wife. And there's no better time to achieve a healthy lifestyle than now. What are you waiting on, man? You hear me? Go out and do this. When I tell you the number, I want you to call right now to make an appointment. 615-660-6900. 615-660-6900. Or visit the website, CoolSpringsMD.com.
.com. 8:34 as we welcome you back into a Tuesday edition of Morning Drive here Live from Jack Daniel's Barrel House, Bridgestone Arena, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stick to sports coming up in about 12 minutes. Saw this yesterday and just did some real dummy math. It looks like John Robinson has about $31.46 million remaining after all of his moves so far in free agency. According to Spotrac, that would be the ninth most cap space amongst 32 NFL teams. Now, you got to subtract, as we mentioned with Floyd, $5 or $6 million on draft picks. So that's going to leave John Robinson roughly $25 to $26 million. Field Yates put out the best week two free agent players available, which include a lot of players at positions of need or depth for the Titans. Jared Cook, Justin Houston, Ndamukong Suh, Ziggy Ansah, Randall Cobb, Clay Matthews, Jamie Collins, and a couple of defensive tackles. Do you think John Robinson, because we're what now, I want to say six or seven days since free agency officially began. Are any of these guys in play at the right price?
I mean, anything's an option at the right price. I would say front seven is still the main focus. I think you've spent your money at wide receiver. You've got, you know, four guys that you trust. You got two tight ends. You may draft a tight end or a receiver later in the draft. If you're going to go after another defensive front player, that might be a possibility. You still have to figure out right guard, but you may feel really comfortable with the guys you've got. You probably also are going to draft somebody in the first three picks at that position as well. How much money do you have to retain for your draft picks if you're going to have seven draft picks where they currently are, basically all the standard one through seven?
Right around five.
So that's what I thought. So you've got to have to reserve about, what, $5, $6 million for all of your draft picks this year out of that 31. Do you want to roll that money over because you're going to have to sign Mariota and Kevin Byard? I mean, that's the question, is how much of that needs to be earmarked for future contracts and how much of it can be rolled over. And I think that's because if that's all the money you've got left and you spend five or six more on draft picks, you're talking $25 million. That's way over the 89% right, Mark? So if you know, doing quick math, I'm not sure you go after anybody. I think he's done his work.
No interest in Justin Houston?
I mean,
you got to kick the tires on Justin Houston.
I mean, I'm stunned. I know he's got some injuries, but he still had nine and a half sacks last year.
I think what his problem is, what Dez Bryant, other than, let's take away Dez Bryant, the locker room stuff. Let's take that out of the way. His problem was Dez Bryant's problem. What a lot of veteran guys that have, you know, play significant snaps in this league that have been pro bowlers or all pro at one point in their career, and they've gotten to an age where they're in this kind of holding pattern or they're in limbo. It's that you may think you're worth, you know, $10 million, but other teams don't think you're worth $10 million. And either you're trying to hold out until somebody gets to your price, or you finally realize that, you know what, I just need to be on the team, so I take less. That's what Dez Bryant ran into. He thought he was going to go into free agency and get all this money. Then quickly found out, well, no, you're not getting all this money because, you know, the suitors for you are much less, and what they're willing to pay is much less. I think that's what Justin Houston is now finding out, that he didn't go on the first day and he's seeing all his contracts. He didn't go on the second day, that he might just have to lower his price. And I think once you lower your price, then a team like the Titans start kicking the tires on whether to bring you in or not. But they're not going to bring you in for 11, you know, 10, 11, 12
right.
million dollars per
yeah,
year.
Yeah, I mean, like,
they're not going to do it.
Look, Justin Houston says, hey, I'll play 4 years for $4 million total. I go, hey, let's take him. I mean, like, there's a number for all of these guys that works, right?
Yeah.
But they all want the most possible.
Absolutely, and you don't blame them.
Yeah, exactly. I don't blame them for that at all. So it's all about it's not about, like, hey, these guys don't interest me. They do.
At that price.
You got to be smart with your money. And so John Robinson has been, other than the Josh Klein contract, I mean, of all the deals he's signed, I don't know. Maybe we could go.
Sylvester Williams was a bad one.
I hated the Sly Williams signing when it happened. Benny Logan, I was sort of meh on. I like the Deion Lewis signing. I still do. I think he serves a great purpose for this offense.
I think they salvaged the Malcolm Butler for now.
And also, they can get out of that one and save themselves like $28 million if they cut him in the next two if he plays two more seasons, I think. So there's also early outs to some of these bigger contracts. He cut bait on the Josh Klein deal, which is a bad contract. Mm-hmm. So he signed two or three bad contracts. But otherwise, here's the thing about John Robinson's free agent history. If you go back to his first year, like – they had nothing to work with. He signed Rashad Johnson and Rashard Matthews and Ben Jones, and these guys were great contracts. Like, he got players that came in and started games and were really good contracts. Logan Ryan, it looked expensive at the time, $11 million a year. That's turned out to be a really good deal for the Titans. He's one of their best players. You know, Delaney Walker re-ups for 2 years. You know, that looks like it's going to be a good deal. So there's a lot more good on John Robinson's free agent resume than there is bad. I think this year will probably dictate our evaluation of him as a free agent scouter, right? Like, he spent $130 million this year to retain one guy and bring in three more. If three out of the four work, we're going to view this year as a big success.
Stick to Sports is coming up on the other side. And also, Braden Gall, you and I both have been alerted to this. We have seen it on Twitter. Opening lines for SEC football games and also other big games throughout the college football season have just been released. Dare I say it, we might have to talk a little college football coming up at 9 o'clock.
I hate that idea.
Anybody against that? Anybody opposed to college football and gambling? Anybody? Going once? Going
twice?
No. Thank you very much, William. All right, stick to sports. That is next here on Morning Drive. As we welcome you back into a Tuesday installment of Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Live this morning from Jack Daniel's Barrel House, Bridgestone Arena. Tonight, the Predators and the Maple Leafs. Still a lot to get to on today's show. Chris Mason will join us. We've got the big finish. But right now, we are actually going to get to stick to sports right on time at 8:45. Let's get it going. And as always, Mr. Mason, Stick to Sports is sponsored by...
Brought to you by Decorated Interiors. Stick with the pros, no amateurs, and Decorated Den. When you need your home, office, or outdoor spaces fixed up, redid, whatever you want, just call the good people over at Cool Springs MD or go on the website.
Decorated Den.
Yeah. I said Cool Springs. Cool Springs Decorated Den.
They'll fix something else.
Yeah, Cool Springs will fix something, but not that.
Number one.
DecoratingDen.com.
Decorating Xfinity Chiropractors.
Yes. DecoratingDen.com, people.
We're not using the other pantry anymore.
It's talking with Music City. Oh, wait.
Oh, man. I tell you.
Number one.
You guys are a disaster. From Fort Lauderdale, Florida, a Florida man called 911. That's correct. Florida man called 911 after going to the bathroom and finding a bright green iguana swimming in his toilet. Fort Lauderdale Battalion Chief Stefan Golan tells the Miami Herald the man freaked out and didn't know what to do. He says firefighter Jeff Kourous put on a sterile glove, reached in, and grabbed the iguana.
It's an iguana!
He took it outside and released it into the wild. Is there anything more horrifying than the idea of a live animal swimming around in your toilet?
Not an iguana. Well, not iguanas are
snake,
harmless.
And a snake is in your toilet. That's why when I...
That actually happened years ago.
I look in there because that's the last thing I want to do is sit down and then realize, like, oh, my goodness.
I could think of, like, 50 things worse than an iguana is harmless. You reach again, you called 911 for someone to put on a sterile glove, reach in the toilet, grab it, and put it outside. More importantly, is a battalion chief a better or worse title than a constable?
I like the constable.
A battalion chief.
Is that what it was, Buck?
That almost sounds like a fire department.
Correct. Battalion chief.
Yeah. Battalion chief. I think I'd rather be called a battalion chief.
It sounds like a classification in Halo, the video game.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, never mind. I changed my opinion.
He's the head of the group.
You know,
chief of the group.
But a snake or a tarantula in your toilet?
Well, that actually happened. True story. There was a guy years ago who was, doing his thing in the men's room. He sat down, was going doing business, and snake came up through the toilet.
Oh.
Yeah, bit him right in the rump.
Oh.
It took us.
Oh.
Was that a friend of yours or what?
No, I remember reading this like when I was in high school.
How do you retain this nonsense?
How do you recover from that?
You don't.
You never
sit down again.
Right.
You have post-toilet stress syndrome.
Exactly. You never sit down again.
Florida man.
Number two.
Okay, we move now to Baltimore County, Maryland. Apparently not all unicorns are the embodiment of purity and grace. Baltimore County police say a person dressed in a unicorn costume and wielding a crowbar tried to rob a convenience store Saturday morning in the Baldwin community. Officers arrived just after the Heinz store opening time of 5 a.m. to respond to the robbery call. Police say the suspect had fled in a silver car. They located what appeared to be the same car after it had wrecked. No other cars were involved in the wreck. Are you always going to be skeptical of a person wearing a unicorn costume?
Yeah, pretty much so. Anybody wearing a costume, period, and it's not Halloween.
Yeah, I think that's the rule of thumb.
What about my 3-year-old who dresses up as a unicorn like every day?
I'm skeptical of her.
Hey.
100%.
What do you want, little kid?
If you're an adult.
She's just trying to get more yogurt, okay? That's all she wants is more yogurt.
No, that's not the joke there.
What? Say that again, Buck.
Move on.
Oh. You're the idiot, Buck. God.
Yeah, Buckler.
Buckler?
Yeah, Buckler.
We just add a name?
Number three.
We need to get out of this. Police say a 20-year-old intoxicated man got on a school bus hoping to be dropped off closer to his home, but instead rode to a suburban Philadelphia high school and went inside. Lower Gwinnett police say...
Lower Gwinnett.
Okay, that one. Police say a student reported an unknown man at 7:25 a.m. Friday.
Oh,
the man was dropped off and entered. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the name of the high school.
I'll just stop you. Here's the violation. Like, if you're the bus driver driving a school bus, you don't let grown people on the bus.
Yeah, I agree.
This isn't a public transportation school bus.
Did he fight his way out of the bus?
Get on the bus before anybody else was on it, went to the back, and fell asleep.
And hid?
The lieutenant said that the man looked like a student, so the driver did not question him.
Okay.
Some of us don't hit puberty the same.
Well, if this bus driver was the normal bus driver and consistently picked up kids,
he would know.
You should know who your students are.
You should know who your students are.
A good bus driver would.
Yeah.
They should also get paid more, by the way.
Absolutely.
I feel like the entire system of checks and balances here is broken down.
Exactly.
Whether it's the bus driver or like the front gate person or like a teacher in the hallway. We failed all through this entire process, it feels like.
It took for a student to call the police and then tell.
This is Philly, right?
Suburb, but close enough.
All right.
They're all morons.
Number four.
Send all bad tweets to Nick Kale, please.
We head to Oklahoma. An Oklahoma woman was arrested after authorities used a T-shirt gun to launch drugs, cell phones, and other contraband over a prison fence.
What did she use?
A T-shirt gun.
Oh, wow.
Was she also dressed as a mascot?
We'll get there. The Oklahoma Department of Corrections says the incident prompted a lockdown at North Fork Correctional Unit in Sayre, about 120 miles west of Oklahoma City. The agency says authorities arrested Carrie Jo Hickman after discovering the T-shirt gun and another package in her vehicle. Tulsa television station KOTV reports that the container launched Sunday contained cell phones, earbuds, phone chargers, methamphetamine, digital scales, marijuana, and tobacco.
What
in
the world?
That's correct.
I would just love if, like, Boomer the Horse from Oklahoma's mascot was like, shoot, this person has to be dressed as a mascot. That's the only way this story gets any better. Hey, you got to be creative.
Yeah, I guess she was.
Wait, you're suggesting the wall didn't keep things out?
Typically, it
built it 10 feet higher.
Yeah. Okay.
Was the wall actually finished?
There were 55 miles. But we're not sure.
Yeah.
Do you watch CNN?
You watch CNN?
I watch it. You watch Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although, you know, I might have a Netflix rant later this week.
Oh, rant wheel.
For the rant wheel.
I smell a rant wheel.
We got it. What you got, Bucky?
That's all I had. We ran out. We went too fast.
Okay. Oh, we, so
wait.
So we actually finished on time. Actually, we finished 3 minutes early, and now you're.
So you only did three?
I did four.
Four?
Yes.
That's okay. I usually do four.
But mostly, Chase, it's our fault that you only do four.
That's correct. I just
this
didn't have a.
Fault.
But I
just
prepared didn't have a fifth. For four.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because.
Oh. You just stopped doing the fifth one after a while.
Yeah,
I forget it.
I haven't done the fifth one in a long time.
I mean, this is the first time you guys have gotten anywhere close to being finished on time. Like, the effort
point.
For five just
tripping.
Isn't worth it.
I'm fair still point. Tripping. Did she, the lady that sent the contraband over to the wall, was she trying to get to a specific person or was she just randomly just.
Well, no, I'm assuming. No. Like, you've communicated with your person on the inside and says, hey, around midnight on Wednesday, I'll shoot stuff over. Go ahead and grab it real quick and make sure it's not.
If it's midnight, you're in your cell.
I don't know the inner workings of prison. Maybe it's supposed to be at night, so then when in the morning he goes out and gets
it.
There's got to be communication here at some point.
Since we have a few minutes, I'll bring this up because we haven't talked about this yet. Uh-huh. There's a TV station that I don't know where they are, but they did a graphic talking about the SEC tournament and Auburn – winning the SEC tournament. However, if you look at a keyboard on a computer, the C and the X are right next to each other, which can turn things around for you quickly.
Saying, so you're saying it was a sex tournament?
Yes.
That Auburn won.
Auburn won a sex tournament.
Is that like being a champion of life?
They're a champion.
Auburn
won,
won
the
sex
biggest championship, and that's a championship of life.
Yes, I love it. Oh, man. It's
so
like Ron Burgundy.
That's how that's going to end? You're just going to leave that out there, sex tournament, and everybody's going to laugh like five-year-olds?
What?
Why are. That's what we are.
What are we supposed to say? TV people, be better about using your keyboard. What am I supposed to say?
Well, okay, so the reason I bring this up is because the other day – I was writing out a tweet about the SEC tournament, and I almost made that mistake. Now, I proofread, so therefore I don't make that mistake. Uh-huh. And I made the comment to Ryan of, you know, this is one of those things that I'm surprised it doesn't happen more than it actually does because if you're typing fast and you're not paying attention.
Well, and I don't remember which news channel it was, and even if I did, I wouldn't bring it up. But after the Preds beat Anaheim and beat the Ducks and went to the Stanley Cup final, a local television show on their bottom line, on the scroll or on the Chiron, the lower third, as they say in the industry, the lower third said, Predators win Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to say Predators go to Stanley Cup final. And that was not right. it was incorrect. Which is not as good as the sex tournament, though. That's still better.
That might be at the top. My friend Deja Knight, who is no longer in the TV business, but still to this day shows up in memes on Twitter. Yes. Because somebody did the lower third and it said, two dead, found dead.
Oh, and that, gosh. And so, what was the name of this person?
Wow.
Deja Knight.
To the main stage. No, that's an interesting name.
No.
Doesn't Deja Knight sound like a rock star or a movie star or an actress or maybe an exotic
Knight,
dancer?
Nah.
A dancer?
Exactly. It sounds like a dancer.
Up, Deja Knight.
Shut.
Thank you.
This is what happens when you end Stick to Sports early. This is what happens.
No.
any relation to Deja Vu?
No.
Oh, God.
You were just holding
it. I couldn't help myself. I was going to bury it, but I just had to get it out.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, jeez. Coming up next, we have SEC college football lines just released in Vegas. The anticipation palpable. Stay there.